We're finally at the end of the book of Daniel. I thought this week kind of worked out kind of funny because in the morning I had Hebrews chapter 12 verses 4 through 13, and then I had Daniel chapter 12 verses 5 through 13. It got a little confusing for me, but we're finishing up the book of Daniel, and it's been an interesting book all about the sovereignty of God over the affairs of the world. And it's interesting how the themes of this morning tie into this evening. I kind of love it when they kind of come together like that, and they emphasize the truth that just really seems to be the focus of the day. We talked about how the Lord allows hardships to come into people's lives. He allowed the hardships to come into the life of his son, that he might fulfill his purpose through his son, that he might be perfected in fulfilling his father's will and therefore be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And so we understand that he didn't even spare his own son, but sent him to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. Well, then we understand that he will allow us to go through hardships and difficulties for a purpose, that we might be perfected, that we might become more Christ-like, and he might accomplish his purpose in our lives. Well, the same thing is true for the nation of Israel. Israel was a rebellious, stubborn, stiff-necked people. We read about that over and over again in the Old Testament. And yet God remained faithful to them, even though they were not faithful to him. And because of their disobedience and their unbelief, he allowed them to be carried off into captivity. And because of their continued rebellion and rejection of his son, he'll allow them to suffer in the end. But he doesn't reject them. It's because he loves Israel. And he's allowing these hardships and these tribulations to come into Israel's life for a purpose. And he brings out that even in the end, in the great tribulation, the time of the greatest suffering that's ever going to come upon this world, and it's going to come upon the nation of Israel at the very end, is for the purpose to drive away unbelief from Israel so there might be a purified remnant that believes in him when he comes. And through them, he's going to establish his kingdom on the earth. And so we understand that God has not rejected Israel because God's faithful to his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all the events in human history are going to climax in his fulfillment of his purpose for Israel and bringing them to faith in their Messiah, who will come again and establish his kingdom upon this earth. And it's really there that the book of Daniel ends with this theme. So turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12. As we continue to look at this great tribulation period that's at the very end, starting at verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood the other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. He's talking about two angels. He saw two angelic beings, one side of the Tigris River and the other one on his side of the Tigris River. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which is like a third angelic being, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? How long? That's the all-important question. How long? He sees the appearance of the angels, and it's interesting, he uses the word for stream, which is kind of interesting because when you look at the word stream, it's always used of the Nile River. If you look at the Nile, it's kind of a thin, long river that's kind of interesting because it flows the opposite direction what you normally think of it flowing. And the Tigris River wasn't used at the Tigris River, which was a big, raging type river. And they think, a lot of the people have wrestled with this language here, there's allusions in the text to the parting of the Red Sea, but mainly the Nile River, when the plagues came upon them in the land of Egypt. That was a time of great distress for Israel. Remember, they cried out to the Lord because they were having to make bricks without straw and were horribly oppressed and persecuted there in the land of Egypt. And God came and gave them this great deliverance by the stream. You know, he turned the stream to blood and all those plagues that came upon them in the Nile River until it finally led them out of the land of Egypt. And they brought them from the land of captivity to the land of their freedom. God's working sovereignly on behalf of the nation of Israel. And it seems like there's a hint of this kind of background being thought of at this point in time, because now they're facing another great oppression. And will God deliver them from this one as well, or is he done with them? Has he had it with Israel? And the point is, no, he's not done with them. That this great tribulation that comes upon Israel at the very end is not for their destruction. It's for their purification. And that's going to usher in a new time, a new period in Israel's history, the time of the millennial kingdom. Well, they see these two angels, and then there's this man of linen that we alluded to earlier, which I think is a Christophany, or appearance of the second person of the Trinity in the Old Testament. And he goes up above the river. So you have an angel on one side, you have the angel on the other. He's just talked about this great hardship and this tribulation that's going to come upon the people of Israel. And it's not Daniel who asked the question. It's one of these angelic beings who ask, how long is this going to be? Because the one that's above the waters is different than the other angelic beings. He seems to have authority. He seems to be the one who's in control of all that's going on. That's why I think it's an allusion to the second person of the Trinity, because Jesus is the one who's going to bring in the end, the climax of history. And he asks him, how long? Not what we would ask, when is this going to be? Everyone's always wrestling with, when's the end? His question is, how long is this period of oppression going to take place? How long until the end of these wonders? When will this great tribulation be brought to an end that occurs under this evil, final king, this final oppressor who's going to persecute the people of God, and he's given authority to do so? And he says this end, the man linen answers, is limited. Look at the next verse. And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, above it actually, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. It's going to be 3.5 years. If you go back to chapter 7, verse 25. And he spake the great words against the Most High, and shall swear, wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and the dividing of time. There we have it mentioned with the little horn that's going to come at the end, who's going to be the Antichrist, who's going to be given authority over the people of Israel, and he's going to oppress them, but it's only for a limited time, 3.5 years. It's the Antichrist that's mentioned in Revelation, that he will oppress them for 3.5 years. It's all the same person who's given this power over Israel. And he says, how long is it going to last? 3.5 years. But what's going to be accomplished in that 3.5 years? Israel is going to be shattered. It's going to be broken. I always hear people say, you don't dare touch Israel. God's he watches over Israel. They're the people of God. And they are the ones to whom the promises have been given. But there is actually coming a time in the end where Israel is going to be shattered, it's going to be destroyed, it's going to be broken. But the purpose of the breaking of Israel is that they might be brought to repentance. And that remnant that's still alive at the end of the tribulation period, that survives to the end, will come to put their faith in their Messiah. They will believe. And they'll put their trust in him. And so, yes, God will preserve his people. But difficult days lie ahead for Israel. Hard times are coming. They'll be brought to the end of themselves. And then when they finally feel like they're ready, they think there's no hope except the Lord intervene, the Lord will intervene. And the time of the great hardship will end. Because if it didn't end, if the Lord did not stop to it, then the elect would perish. And the elect is Israel. So that's the end. But there's still more questions. Okay, it's going to be 3.5 years. It's going to be a time of horrible oppression. The Antichrist is going to rule over the world. There's going to be the great war at the end. We have kind of rough details, but there's a lot of details we're not given. A lot of questions to ask. And that's kind of leads into the next section, starting at verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? I understand the main things, but there's so many more details we'd like to know. That's the danger with biblical prophecy. We only told so much. And then we try to fill in with all the extra details. You know, people spend years studying this. Well, we won't know it all, not till it finally happens. And so that's what he says at the very end. And he said, go that way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Shut up these words until the end. Well, he means preserve them. My friends, we still have them right here. Thousands of years later, we still have the book. Okay? The book of Daniel has been preserved. Write it down, and these words are going to be preserved till the very end. When they shall be fulfilled, Israel will understand. In other words, when this stuff actually happens, the eyes of the remnant of Israel are going to see it and believe it and understand it and grasp that this is fulfillment of God's word. He'll give them this the information they need. I think it's kind of allusion to all this prophecy. In this book is all that Israel will need for the end. To know the truth. It's all here. But not all will be receptive. The wise will listen and understand. But many will not. Some will see this and understand, and they'll purify themselves. They'll recognize the truth of what's being said here, and they'll repent of their sins and cry out unto Jesus Christ, their Messiah, and be cleansed and forgiven, and the nation will be purified. Finally, Israel will come to understand the truth of their Messiah. And all, like I said, who believe at the end will be purified and believe and prepared for the kingdom. And many shall be saved even out of other nations. It's at that time that the 144,000 witnesses from Israel that have believed the truth and accepted the truth are going to become evangelists to the rest of the world. And there's going to be people saved from every tribe and nation. It was actually this truth that really changed my perspective. For years, I was what they call a post-tribulational. That's why I was trained in my Bible college years. We were taught that the rapture was going to occur at the end of the tribulation period, and that believers were going to go through this time. And at the very end, the Lord would come back and usher in the kingdom, and we would go into the kingdom. And the big argument they made was, well, we can't expect to be spared hardship and suffering because God told his people that you're going to go through hardship and suffering. And that the Lord can preserve us through that time just like he preserved Noah in the ark. You know, that type of thing. Except I ran across a problem as I really started thinking about this and studying it. It seems to me what the scripture is saying is that only believers can enter into the kingdom. It spells out in a number of places in scripture that you have to, only those people will be allowed into the kingdom. Remember in Corinthians it says, no liars, cheaters, fornicators, none of them shall be allowed to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's a promise to believers, faithful believers, that when he comes back to establish his kingdom, only those people will be allowed into the kingdom. Okay. It seems to be at the end of the tribulation period when judgment comes upon the nation, all those who are believers, who are not believers, you know, will be destroyed. They're going to be wiped out. That's where we have the judgment of the nations. Okay? If the rapture is at the end, then either you're a believer who's been glorified and resurrected, you know, transformed into this new glorified state, or else you're judged and wiped out. And all of a sudden I realize there's nobody left to enter a kingdom on earth, an earthly kingdom in non-glorified bodies. It was the one argument that I was like, there's no answer to. If you hold to the rapture at the very end, there's nobody to go into the kingdom in a non-glorified body. That's why I'm a firm believer now, because of other reasons. Once I understood that, I started to see other reasons, that the rapture is at the beginning of the tribulation period. And the Lord raptures this church, and we're transformed because now he's no longer working with Gentiles. The time of Gentiles is over. Now the time of working with Israel is restarted, the 70th week of Daniel. And he's working with Israel. And the first part of the tribulation period is really the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. The temple is going to be rebuilt and things go on, but the Antichrist rises to power. At first, he has a treaty with them. But at the end of the first 3.5 years, there's a time which he turns on them, he betrays them, and he commits the abomination of desolation. And then the time of the great tribulation, the hardship, the last 3.5 years, is ushered in. But during this time, during this 7-year period, Israel's going to come to believe in their Messiah. And they're going to be sent out missionaries to the ends of the earth. And people are going to be saved from every tribe and every nation that's in existence at that time. So that when the Lord comes back to set up his kingdom, there's going to be people who have come to put their faith in the Messiah who believe. And they're the ones who are going to enter into the kingdom. And we shall come back with Christ and rule over this kingdom with him. That's why he comes back with his glorified ones. And that seems to be what he's getting at in this passage. This idea of this kingdom being established. But those who believe, those who are wise, will understand and put their faith in the Messiah. And the wise shall reign with him, will receive this truth. Be part of this new kingdom that's coming to be. But many will not believe. Despite the fact that all these things mentioned in Scripture are being fulfilled right before their eyes. And yet, because of the rebellious nature, they will refuse to believe the truth. And they will continue in their wickedness and their sinfulness. They will not put their faith in the Messiah. They will not repent and trust in him. But they'll persevere in their wickedness. Turn to 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You see the warning? You reject the truth, you persevere in your unbelief, and you are given over to more and more deception, farther and farther from the truth. When you reject the light, you go deeper into the darkness, and your sin gets even worse. In fact, I should have read the verse right before you. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a lot of the believer. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Boy, that fits with what we read this morning. Well, that's the end. And then he goes on to give a little bit more details here. Let's continue on. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, that's the abomination of desolation in the middle of the tribulation period, and from the abomination that maketh desolate up, there shall be 1,290 days. Well, that's kind of interesting. This is where you got to do your math. You know, you got to get those charts and the calculator out and figure all this out. From the abomination of desolation to the second coming is 3.5 years, or 42 months, or 1,260 days. In other words, he says it's a set period. It's like the Lord is saying, I'm only going to put up with this so long. Because he cares for Israel. And as a loving father, he knows they have to go through this in order for Israel to be brought to true faith and repentance and to be purified. But he set a limit on it. It's only going to be for that period of time. And it'll be over with. For that to happen, by the way, the temple has to be rebuilt. You can't have the abomination of desolation without a temple for the abomination of desolation to take place. And as I understand it, there are plans being made even now in preparation to rebuild the temple. And so I think that will happen. And he's going to set himself up there, the Antichrist will, and declare himself to be God. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the abomination of desolation. That's still a future event. And for that to take place, the temple has to be rebuilt. But then we have this verse that actually says 1,290 days. That's 30 more days. And so they say, well, wait a minute. From the time of the abomination of desolation in the temple till the second coming of the Lord is 1,260 days. But then he says there's going to be 1,290 days. That's 30 more days. What's taking place during these 30 days? Most scholars think it's alluding to the fact that the judgment has to take place, where everyone has to give an accounting and is determined who's going to be allowed to enter in the kingdom and who is not. You also have the appointment of responsibilities, because now that Israel spared and they believe, God's going to establish his kingdom, and he's got to assign responsibilities and positions. And so it's organization. It's getting ready to set up the kingdom. We who believe and come back with him, we're going to be given jurisdictions and things that we do that we rule with him upon this earth. And so you have this 30 days of setting up for the kingdom. It'll take a month to get everything organized and ready. It just isn't like that. And then he adds another time. 1,335 days. That's 45 more days. And the kingdom of the earth shall be established, he says. Blessed are those who wait and arrive at that day when this occurs. So let me show you. And from that time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolation set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,345 days. See it? 45 more days. The point is, there's going to be a lot of time of judgment, of preparation, but finally, there's coming a day when the kingdom shall be established, an official day of celebration, when Christ is enthroned upon the earth and the kingdom officially begins. It's not right away, this preparation. But he says, blessed are those who survive the great tribulation and are given a place in the coming kingdom. What a glorious day that will be. Part of the most wonderful kingdom, ruled by the most wonderful king in all human history. The millennial kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. I frankly think we're in the greatest country there is right now, but this will be nothing compared to that kingdom, when righteousness shall prevail and our Lord and Savior shall rule supreme. The book of Daniel ends with a very personal word to Daniel. Daniel is one of the three great people mentioned in Scripture that there's nothing said against him. In fact, he's lifted up as an example of righteousness. But go thou thy way. Daniel, you're done. Time for retirement. Go thou thy way till the end. In other words, go enjoy yourself until you die. You're done. This is the end. For thou shalt rest. Thou shalt die. But look what he says. And stand in thy lot at the end of the days. That is a remarkable statement. Go your way, Daniel. You're done. Go, rest, take it easy, and you'll die. But your lot, that word lot was the same word used for the Israelites when they came and conquered the promised land, and they gave to each one their lot, their portion, their inheritance in the promised land. He's basically saying, Daniel, go, rest, you're done. But when this takes place, when finally Israel comes to believe after this great tribulation, and there's a time of preparation with the judgment of the nations and like setting up and getting ready for the kingdom, blessed are all those who are there for that day. Daniel, you're going to be there on that day. You're going to get a lot. You're going to get a place in the kingdom because you're one of my faithful servants, and you're not going to miss out. It goes back to chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth who've died shall awake, some to everlasting life. And those that are raised at that time shall have a part to play in his kingdom upon this earth. He's alluding to the resurrection of the saints. And they that be wise. Now notice that word wise. We just saw this a little bit earlier here when he said, verse 10. Many shall be purified, made white, and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. They'll have no part in this. But the wise shall understand. Going back to the wise a little bit earlier. And they that be wise, in verse 3, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel, you're going to be one of those bright, shining stars. You're one of the wise. And he's mentioned as being wise a number of places throughout the book. And he's saying, Daniel, at the very end, you're going to be there. That's the rich promise God gives to his people. Many have served the Lord faithfully in the church and have gone to their home with the Lord. And some of us may live until the Lord's coming in the rapture. And when that takes place, he says, those who have died are going to be raised back to life, and they shall precede us, and we shall meet them in the air. We shall be changed, and we shall go and be with the Lord in preparation for his kingdom. Well, on the earth, he deals with Israel and finally brings Israel to repent and believe and put their faith in him. But many will perish in the midst of that tribulation period. And at the end of the tribulation period, they too shall be raised to life, and those glorious saints of old shall be raised back to life, and we shall be part of the kingdom, because everyone who puts their faith in the Messiah shall be part of that kingdom. We will not be left out. He wants all of his people to be there. And not even death itself can prevent that from happening. That's why I like to tell people, our hope is not just to go to heaven someday. Our hope is to be able to participate with God, with Jesus Christ, in the fulfillment of his promises to believers since the very beginning, when he establishes a kingdom upon the earth and he brings in the new heavens, new earth, and new paradise. We're going to have a part to play in that. What a glorious future we have. That's our hope. So will you be wise and avail yourself of God's provision in Jesus Christ? It says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That's when we receive the promise. And I look forward to that day. Well, that brings us to the end of the book of Daniel. But my friends, it's not the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that glorious hope that we have. We look forward to that day when you will establish your kingdom on the earth, and we who believe shall have a part in that. And all the Old Testament saints who put their faith in you, Lord, that great hall of fame we read in Hebrews 11 shall also be there to participate in that, because no one who's put their faith in you will miss out on the fulfillment of your promises to them. Because, Lord, you keep your word. And to you, 1,000 years is just no time at all. Your promises are still fresh. And the fulfillment is certain. And the days are set. And the time is set. And everything's going to come together in fulfillment of your purposes. You are in absolute control of all that's going on. And may we put our trust in you. May we understand just as much as we need to understand to know that we can trust you with all that's going on. And we look forward to it, Lord, to see it fulfilled. Until then, help us to be faithful. Help us to serve you as we should. To be faithful like Daniel as we look forward to our precious hope being fulfilled. In Jesus' name, amen.